Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. You know, I worked in the electrical industry for almost 12 years before I went into the ministry. And, you know, God dealt with us and quit our job, sold our house, went back to school, and got a degree in theology and got on staff with the church. And I love that. So for about 11 years, worked on church staffs and as education director. And you just learn a lot of stuff, you know, people. God's a people God. He loves people, all kinds of people, every kind of person. God loves everybody. And so I noticed there are no two people that are the same. None of us have the same thumbprint. We don't have the same voice print. God is a very creative God. And so being the engineer that I was, I always kind of run numbers. So what are you doing? Well, I'm dealing with families. I'm the family minister. I'm the family pastor. So I'm dealing with families. Well, what are families dealing with? And so, you know, you'd hear a story and then another story. It's like, well, there's got to be some patterns here. What are we working with? So being the engineer I was, I went back and started in Genesis. You know what happened to the family with Adam and Eve? They sinned. They got fired from the job, evicted from the house. Kids start killing each other. Kind of goes downhill toward Revelation, except right in the middle where we have Silent Night, Holy Night, we through kings of Orion are. God had a plan from the beginning to fix mankind. So what are we trying to do is when I'm dealing with families, kind of run the numbers, because marriage is the second greatest thing outside of salvation. God said in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. Now, the first half of that word is hell. Per. You got to get the whole word. Hell. Per. A helper. And God puts opposites together. You know, it's not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. Completely different. You know, different sexes, different IQ, different GPAs from different families. It's two becoming one, and that is a miracle of life. So I just give you a few numbers to kind of think about in today's families. One in two children are going to live in a single-parent home some point during their childhood in America. One in two, they're going to live with a single-parent home. One in three in America are born to unwed parents. One in four is only with one parent. The numbers just kind of getting kind of rough. One in eight is born to a teenage mother. One in 25 lives with neither parent. They're with somebody else. 4.6 million children are living with their grandparents. And slightly more than 40% of all current marriages are second or third marriages. And people, one time I asked, I said, because I teach seminars all over the country. We do about 60 a year. And somebody asked me one time, said, you teach on blended families? I said, what? I said, you teach on blended families? I says, no. Why not? I said, I don't see any need to. Well, do you know there are more blended families in the United States of America than there are core families today? Well, yeah, I know that. I'm an engineer. I run the numbers. Well, why don't you think it's important? I said, well, because God just wrote one Bible. There's not a Bible for married, or it works for married couples, single couples, divorced couples, getting divorced couples, angry. It's one Bible that works for everybody. It's the same Bible. And so it doesn't matter if you're married, or you're married seven times, or you've never been married, or you're thinking about divorce. It's the same book it'll work for. It's God's Word. I'll give you some more numbers here. It says 85% of all children who have some sort of behavioral disorder come from a fatherless home. 85% of all children who are labeled, well, we have behavioral disorders, you know, they'll come, you know, got all sorts of medical terms for it, come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 7% of all juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth sitting in prisons grew up in a fatherless home. And so what are you trying to say? Daddies are real important. You know, I know when the women's movement came, and of course women had a bit abused and misused. They didn't get the right to vote until about 7 years ago. And so hell hates women. And so I used to tell people in the Garden of Eden, Satan didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve because she's the one that is controlling everything, and he knew it. And so women are a gift to mankind. And when God looked down and said, you need help, he made a woman. She's smarter, has a higher IQ, better manual dexterity. She's going to live longer, has better health. You know, God made something special, man, when he made a woman. And she's to be revered and honored and taken care of, not abused in any way. And so you realize hell's trying to bust up the marriage from day one. Hell hates the home. Hell went after the home. It's always done the same thing. In 1900, life expectancy in our country was 47 years. In the year 1900, if you lived to be 48, you were old. How old are you? 48? Oh, Lord, you're old. Only 4% of the population was over 65. Only 4% of the United States was over 65. That you can't even get your head wrapped around that. Today, life expectancy is almost 76. Man, that thing expanded. Well, we live better, and we've got inoculations and better food, you know, and safer places to live. It's amazing. And it's estimated about the year 2025, 20% of the population will be over 65. We've got a lot of people living a lot longer now. Life got better, and they're living longer, which means, hey, grandma's not going to die when she's 48. She's still going to be around when she's 78. She's going to live long. By the year 2020, there'll be more people age 60 and over than 18 and under. We're getting older every day. So what I try to do is kind of run the numbers. And this is a great list. This is about 100 years ago in the United States of America. This was normal life in America just over 100 years ago. I mean, things have changed, but they haven't changed that rapidly. We've been the same for thousands of years until about 100 years ago when the pace picked up immensely. So 100 years ago, the average life expectancy in America was 47. Only 14% of the homes had a bathtub. Nobody got a bathtub. You go get in the creek. Only 8% of the homes had a telephone, and half of those didn't work. There were only 8,000 automobiles in the entire United States and only 144 miles of paved road. Just 100 years ago, only 144. There's interstates everywhere today, but 100 years ago, there's only 144 miles of paved road. The maximum speed limit most of those roads was 10 miles an hour. Lord, that's not fast. You can lace up your tennis shoes and run them down. 10 miles an hour. Alabama, Mississippi, Iowa, and Tennessee were each more heavily populated than California 100 years ago. That's incredible. The Eiffel Tower was the tallest structure in the world. The average wage in the United States was 22 cents an hour. Now, how many of you think you can make it on that? 22 cents an hour. The average worker made between $200 and $400 a year. 95% of all births took place at home. Woo, I'm glad that changed. 95% of all babies were born at home. They didn't go to the hospital. They were born at home. 90% of all U.S. physicians did not go to college. Ooh, where'd they learn the medical stuff? Well, just on their own. Sugar was 4 cents a pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. Most women washed their hair once a month, and they used borax or egg yolks for shampoo. You can smell them coming. God bless you. Canada passed a law prohibiting poor people from entering into the country for any reason. The five leading causes of death in the United States were pneumonia, influenza, tuberculosis, diarrhea, and heart disease. You know the number four cause of death 100 years ago was diarrhea? I mean, man, I went to that house and they didn't come back. Where's Uncle Frank at? Well, he's been in that house the last 3 days. It was a leading cause of death. The American flag had 45 stars. Arizona, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Hawaii, and Alaska had not been admitted to the Union yet. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada was 30. 30. And so why were they there? Well, they were on the way to California, and the mule died across the desert. They got stuck. That's why they were there. Crossword puzzles, canned pop, and iced tea had not been invented yet. There was no Mother's Day. There was no Father's Day. 1 in 10 U.S. adults could not read or write. Only 6% of the Americans were high school graduates. Coca-Cola contained cocaine. That's where the name came from. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at your local drugstore. And there are only 230 total reported murders in the entire United States of America. What happened? Well, life changed. It had to change. Well, it changed a lot. It's changed a whole lot. Now, in the last days, the Bible's got some things to say about it, because I think we live in the greatest time of human history. Well, the reason I read those numbers, like, guys, life's changing constantly. I mean, I remember when they visited, you know, lasers and the factories I was working in were now operated by laser things and trying to make more profit and a better product. Well, some guys didn't want to learn lasers. You know, most of the guys working in the factories where I was at were high school graduates, and really good, very hardworking. But all of a sudden, we're having machines run by lasers now. And I said, guys, it's going to take about 3 days. Bring this specialist in, teach you how to run this laser. So I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to learn that laser. I don't need to learn that. I said, no, you're going to have to learn this because that's what this machine operates by now. And I remember one guy said, I'm not ever going to learn it. I said, well, guys, if you don't learn this, I'm going to have to fire you, and we're going to replace you with an 18-year-old high school graduate. I'd like to keep you because you're loyal, you're faithful. This is, you got a great career here. You're going to have a great retirement. Please don't do this. And I noticed that some people refuse to learn anything new. I don't need to learn that. I don't need to know that. Guys, life's changing so fast. You need to learn something new every day. You need to be open. The Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. It's not weak, it's meek. It means teachable. Teachable people will inherit the earth. Teachable people will inherit the earth. You got to be willing to learn something. So I realized this is getting kind of spiritual on this thing about by the numbers. Well, there's other numbers. So in the last days, this is the greatest day of human history to be alive. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. God said, in the last days, I will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to the parents. It's going to be a great revival in the last days. God finishes stronger than he starts. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. It's the greatest day of human history to be alive. It's the last days. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, also in the last days, perilous times will come. There'll be very difficult times. People will love themselves more than and their money more than they love others. They'll be boastful and proud and high-minded and truth breakers, disobedient to parents. And it's a long, nasty list because there's two groups of people, those running to God and those running away from God. That's why as a believer, our job is to reach the lost as quickly, as efficiently, and as rapidly as we can. Then Luke 17, Jesus talking about it. He said, listen, when the Son of Man returns, the world will be like the people living in Noah's day. In the days before the flood, people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right until the time that Noah went into the boat. He said in the last days, it would be like it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business. They were eating and drinking and buying and selling and farming and building right until the day that Lot left Sodom and then fire and sulfur came out of heaven. Jesus said, yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day the Son of Man returns. So people used to tell scary stuff in the last days. And I remember back in the 60s and the 70s and 80s, people were trying to store up, you know, dried food and drinking water. I said, guys, that's not going to happen. The day Jesus comes back to earth, stores will be packed. People will be at the lake. They'll be in their boats. They'll be eating grilled cheese sandwiches out on their deck. It's going to be business as usual. Jesus said, when he comes back to the earth, nobody will be looking for him except believers. And so it's going to be business as usual. I know there's things about, you know, in the end times, but after the, you know, the catching away of the church goes home, you got those 7 days of tribulation, and Revelation's real detailed on that. You can read about it. But this is the church age. During this time, we're trying to reach the lost as quickly and as rapidly as we can. So what you know is God's got everything in control. All my life is in his hand. My family's life's in his hand. God knows what we need. He said he'd supply all of our need. He would surround us with a shield of divine favor. Psalm 512, people like us don't even know why. He'll order our steps. He'll direct our paths. He'll guide us in all truth. And the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. God says, I'm going to supply your need, but you need to hang out with me. So that's why the greatest thing you'll ever do is be involved in your local church. Send in our great teaching pastor. Volunteer at church. Be ushering and greeting and teaching a Sunday school class. Be involved with the people of God. Now, that's not all you do, but that's a very critical part of what you do. You be reading your Bible on a regular basis. I said, just read a proverb a day. If you read a proverb a day, that'll make you smarter than 9 out of 10 people on this planet, I promise you. Just read a proverb or a psalm a day, and God will watch over that word to perform it. It's going to be a great time, guys. We live in the greatest time of human history. It's not a time to be afraid. It's time to have a spirit of boldness and get out there and do something for God. It's a wonderful time, guys. God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.